Man may think it's a time of chaos. God is working his plan out. And it may not look the way we want it to look, but for us to achieve a walk in the way and the things God has, we have to come to an understanding and knowledge of God, and that's only through the fear of God. In this generation, what's happening a lot, we look too far ahead, not seeing the forest for the trees. This week we were in Isaiah, the 11th chapter, 5th through the 16th verse, and it's one of restoration. It says, "And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters will cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and the rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time." Listen at that verse. Concentrate on that verse. "He shall set his hand again to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Patros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. He shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy of Ephraim shall depart and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly up on the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod, and there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that they came out of Egypt." We know that the day they came out of Egypt, that was a great destruction. We know that he destroyed the Egyptians. Before you can have this remnant, this peace, and this restoration that he's talking of, there must come a time when God does a judgment, as there's nothing to restore. You can see different things happen in life or whatever, after events and everything. Well, that's when you have a restoration of building back. And I appreciate y'all reading and studying this, and Sister Jackson studying this week or whatever. She ran across, because like I said, there's a lot of allegory. There's a lot symbolism in it. There's a lot of things that has meanings, figurative, literally, and all types of, it's so much in this. She ran across the one about the cockatrice demon. And she said, "Oh, Sister Harris, go like that," or whatever. And she got a picture of a cockatrice. And see, it's not what you thought it was it? Because it's something like a great dragon. And what else you've heard of dragons before? So you can't call them dragons like in the Bible or whatever, huh? Or whatever. Don't fall for that one, Deacon. Don't say anything about it, because Satan is called a great dragon, right? You hear of dragons in the book of Revelations, and people wonder about the prehistoric age. Cockatrice, also, there's a type of serpent. But we also know that Satan was the great serpent. Right? You know, we talked Wednesday night about that gap, that time period, when the earth became dark and in chaos and in void. Well, the title of the sermon is Fighting with Beasts. fighting with beast. And how did I get fighting with beast out of there? And it starts off, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Looks like a reversal of nature where God sends nature back to the point it was in the Garden of Eden, where they don't hurt or destroy, and all is holy mountain. Nothing is deadly because there's no more death. The millennial reign of Christ, there's no more death here, it looks like, because of the deadliest animals, we see them, children playing with them. We see wolves and lambs lying down together, lions and bears and things eating straw instead of being cannibalistic of flesh-eating carnivores. So God has reverted nature back, as I told you the other night. Just like when Daniel was in the lion's den, God had to do something to the nature of the lion, because at night he didn't destroy Daniel. He wasn't hurt or anything. But we see the next morning that the same men were cast into the lion's den, that the lions destroyed the men with all types of ferocity. Listen to that word, ferocity, ferocious. That's what animals are, ferocious. I didn't bring some of my... Give me those papers you said that were in that bag. Because of this, of their ferocity, we see lots of men that are ferocious beasts, right? Aren't men ferocious? They're no more than beasts. They're no more than animals. Because our reading scripture here comes from 1 Corinthians 15th chapter and the 32nd verse. He says, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat, drink, and for tomorrow we die. He said he fought with beasts at Ephesus. Let's the Living Version reads, and what value was there in fighting wild beasts? This a hint though, right in here, it inserts those men of Ephesus. If it was only for what I gain in this life down here. If we never live again after we die, then we might as well go and have ourselves a good time. Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And everything ends then. Oh, so men are beast. Men are the beast. Man is no more than animal. What is the difference between man and animal? Ecclesiastes tells us that. If we return to Ecclesiastes, look at the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon here, wise old Solomon, talks about this. He says, I said in my heart concerning the state of the sons of men, that God might manifest, in other words, show to them that they might see that they themselves are beast. Because he's no longer in the... He fell from being in the image of God. And that's what the second man, the second Adam, that's what he's doing. He's creating us spiritual beings in the image of Christ. We're putting on Christ to be made his. But those that are not putting on Christ, they're beast. They're animals, and they shall die like animals. From dust they came, and from dust they all go back to their pre-Adamic state. You know, just think, some people jump on you with the ferocity of a wild lion that tear you apart, you know, and arguing and debating and talking about one another. And, you know, a lot of women or people, the husband is so ferocious, or some people just scowl and holler at him or whatever, and they strike fear in you. You know, it's like the roar of a lion about to attack you or something. And we don't read in the book of none of these books where Paul was actually thrown in the arena, in the ring, fighting against actual lions or tigers or anything. So this has to be that of men, that he's talking about fighting against men. So in that natural order, It's both. It's symbolic of both, that God does return the earth to its original restoration of its original condition. Because remember, I told you we wasn't born meat eaters. He had given us every herb. He says, "You shall eat from the fruit of the tree, and I give you every herb bearing seed." So no animals died. So those of us who love eating meat or whatever, that's what's not. It's not going to be like in heaven. You're not going to kill. There shall be no killing in heaven. So all this meat and stuff, you meat lovers, you're going to be on a vegan diet, okay? So you won't be killing animals and eating them with that ferocity. But we have to look at this. We'll look at it at a time in a way of, how can I say this? In a way of when he's talking about the animals and nature and everything, because nature begins to help man. And I wanted to get to that the other night at Bible study in the book of Romans. And I'll get to it at another time, where all of creation had been subject unto vanity. And the creation is waiting. It was chapter 8. Of the book of Romans, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness that we are, that witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So, that's why we have to walk, learn how to walk in this life. Because there are men, there are people that will do you bodily harm. But God says, don't fear those that destroy the body and the soul, but fear him who can destroy the whole body and soul in hell, who can bring you to smithereens, in other words. But don't fear men, because men are that way. And that's more pronounced even in this last time, in this last day and time. Men are becoming worse. And notice that the judgment begins at the house of God. So all of the ones that's running into the house of God to be saved, they bring an earlier judgment on themselves than those outside of the church, because judgment begins here. So if you're not forgiving or living the way according to the scriptures, your time of judgment may begin early. And that's what hands the world in the state it is today. It's like with Christianity. We've played with God for so long. And we've always, like one of our televangelists that fell, he portrayed it like we was going to be watching it on television and it happening to the other nations. And now mankind has lied and connived or whatever, and we see that our government is not being honest with us. We're believing the lie, and the majority of men, since men are beasts, since men are evil and wicked, they love the lie. They love untruths. So we also see, and according to the book of Revelations, according to the other words of God, that nations and governments are beasts. That's why Peter was talking about Babylon and those beasts or whatever, that nations and governments are beasts. If you look at the beast in the book of Daniel and all of that during Daniel's dream, those was different governmental times, different times of government. So God reveals these things unto his children. When Paul said that it has been given unto us to preach the gospel, and the gospel will lead you and guide you in all truth. In other words, it reveals the mystery of God unto us. And it's a mystery, and I told you what a mystery was. It wasn't what the world tell you a mystery is. A mystery is something that has to be revealed unto you. So you could be the smartest person in the world and not unwrap a mystery because God doesn't show it to you. But the children of God, those that God are enlightening, God shows you day by day. God shows you after revelation of Jesus Christ, those that are walking in Him, they have peace and joy and not feeling the destruction and not fearing what's coming on upon the earth. Right now, there are a lot of scared people and fearful people. And this COVID-19 really has them scared. But God's people are not fearful or scared at this time. That's not God's people, because He gives them an inner peace, an inner joy, and they see God in this more than anything else, more than at any other time. Because, why? Man has crossed God. If you read the book of Leviticus, the 20th chapter and the 22nd verse, God told me, says, "You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, and the land whither I bring you to dwell in shall spew you out if you don't. But if you keep them, the land won't spill you out." And in the Living it reads, "You must obey all of my laws and ordinances so that I will not throw you out of your new land." So you see that He's bringing His people that has been scattered. In that book, the 11th chapter, that tells that He's bringing people that He has scattered throughout the earth, He's bringing them back into the church, into the body of Christ. He's restoring the body of Christ. In other words, if you read that whole section, that whole chapter, it deals with a variety of sexual sins, stating a major result of a penalty of breaking the seventh commandment. This is the Bible's way of saying that when a society unrestrainedly breaks God's laws, nature will rise up as an enemy and make it impossible to live in the land. The inhabitants will be uprooted and thrust out, but not before many die in famine, war, and natural disasters. The process of sin will bring that nation to its knees and humble it before the world. It looks a little bit more differently than when I was telling you months and months ago that it has to happen to this nation. The only way you can keep away from the plagues and sins that He says, won't bring any of this stuff upon you, brought up on the Egyptians, is that you stay away from sin. So if we're God's people in this nation or whatever, if He sees fit for us to die in whichever way we die or whatever, doesn't keep us, then we still not fearing death. That was just part of His plan. Like I was telling you, I was joking with the lady in the back of the EMS wagon the other day coming in, telling me, I said, "Now you got to keep me going or whatever, because my brother died in the back of one of these wagons. By the time they got him to the hospital, he was already dead." You know, and I'm joking and talking or whatever, but people, when they close to death or whatever, they don't like to hear you talking about death, you know. So you have to look at death. You no longer fear death. He's took the sting out of grave, because we know it's only sleeping, you know. You struggle and fight so much, and if God was to take you, you know you'd be with Jesus. You know you'd be with Jesus. It's a fight. So it's a fight every day. It's a fight every day. So whenever that fight ends, that fight is ended, and you fought a good fight. But each day, if you're not living for Jesus, though, it becomes a burden to you. You become scared. That's why in the book of Amos it says, "Prepare to meet your God." The Lord had sworn, it's 8 chapter 7 through the 8 verse, it says, "The Lord had sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I would never forget any of their works. Shall not the land tremble for this, and everyone mourn that dwelleth therein, and shall rise up woefully as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt?" The Lord swore that when a nation became prideful, when a people became prideful, and I tell you, it's not just geographical, God was in this worldwide. In that He says, God swore by His holiness, all of His moral integrity, His very nature, He also swore by Himself. In Amos 6 and 8, He swore by Himself. indicating everything that he is and his sovereignty over all creation. So, but the nation didn't fear that. You remember 9/11 or whatever? They were so scared and went to church or whatever. But we've, this as a nation, as a people, we've done worse than we've ever done since 9/11. We've done worse, and that didn't fear us. That didn't straighten us out. So now that it's like the sixth seal being poured out. Now God's pouring something else out. The scientific or the true figures is probably upward of 17 to 20 million Americans may die because your government is not telling you the truth. It is larger than you think it is. It is much larger than, but it has to be a calling or a thinning of the earth for God to restore the earth. Doesn't the earth has to rise up and strike back at the people that's doing this? Because he had put you here. He had given you dominion over the earth to manage the earth, but you hadn't managed the earth. As he gave man dominion, all of our policies in the FDA, the environmental policies, they've been reversed, destroying the environment, destroying the earth. If you read in Revelation, he says, I'll destroy those that destroy the earth. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. In other words, he's not going to destroy the physical planet, but the present evil world. In other words, the people that inhabit the world. So nature was, the animals, all this was subject to this because of Adam. They were subject to hostility. They were subject to vanity. The seasons, the violence of the seasons, the way it is. So he says, look, I have sworn by my holiness and by myself, and that didn't carry any weight. The people didn't listen at all. He says, so now we'll swear by something so great that is, I'll swear by your own pride that you can't refuse. What kind of irony is that? God says if he swears by something of theirs, it may mean more to them than if he swears by something of his. Let me swear by the chinny chin head of your hair. Let me swear by your children and things. Let me take your old people out. Let me kill your old people. Let your old people, don't spare the young. Don't spare the children. Don't spare any of them. Maybe you'll start listening by that. This passage also shows when a man gets out of step with God, then nature too begins to suffer. Beauty begins to be replaced by ugliness. Let all of Australia burn. All of California burn. Wildfires and things be out of control. We begin to see huge piles of slags, polluted rivers. Look at what they're doing in Michigan, Flint, Michigan, the water crisis, and all of these things throughout the world because man is no good. He's covetousness. He's greedy for himself. This is worldwide. Now it's global. We begin smelling garbage dumps. How many boats and things? They tell you about plastics and environmental global warming and all. Do man care? Do he care about money in the bottom line? He's destroying all of this. He has nowhere to do with his garbage, his sewage, and all of these things because of man. But before you can get to restoration, the earth has to jump up and fight back. God has to destroy so that that remnant, you know, a remnant is a small amount. Let's take a third of it out. Let's wipe a third of it out. And then maybe the rest of them will listen. Oh, foul-smelling garbage dumps, expanding deserts and denuded forests. You remember the Brazilian rainforest, and the United States was complicit in this to allow the Brazilian rainforest to be destroyed because of governmental contracts and people and what Russia's doing and all these nations and things. Man is a beast. Man is the beast. But you remember now, he says, he'll give you peace, those of his, where even your enemies would be at peace. That you would be at peace, you know, with these people. That God could give you peace in the midst of the storm. In the midst of all what's going on. Don't let it perturb you down. Don't let it get you out of kilter to make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do. Finally, when the land begins to vomit the people out, they show a belated interest in God and His truth. They run in the church then. Those are the ones that come in the church. These are people that's condemned unto this condemnation that Jude was talking about. That's when we were talking about Wednesday people coming up from the abyss, the place of no knowledge. That's when you have the televangelist sons and children and everything. You think that just because somebody's daddy was a preacher or whatever, well, you might have not known enough about the daddy, not the son leading you astray. Satan's ministers are changing, are being transformed into angels of light. So all these mega churches, which I don't know how they're going to meet Sunday, if a lot of places kind of banning the meeting of 250, if you got more than 250 in your church, you might have to meet at different times then or whatever. Because of your greed, though. But they hadn't stopped. That hadn't stopped those that's greed of gain. We're going to talk about them. Now, let me stop. Boy, I'm going so slow I can't get through this. But it would be too late to stop the destruction. The time is ripe. The fruit is ripe, so God will punish them. So what is currently happening? Immoral way, how will they treat the land? How will all these things go back? God has a reprisal from them. Instead of light rains and gentle mist. Remember, the earth was watered with a gentle mist from below before, during the times of Noah. They didn't even know what rain was. That's why God sent a hard rain after them. Haven't God been sending hard rains? We had a hard rain here in 2016 that wiped out. They're still recovering from those hard rains. He's going to send things we're not going to be able to cope with. Our financial things will be stressed. And that's why they stepped in and did something this week, because the stock markets, the money, it started mattering with the money. They were saying that this could be small and this and that. But when it touched their money, that's when they started looking. They started watching out when the money fell. In the sixth seal in the book of Revelations, we see the sixth chapter and the 15th verse says, "And the kings of the earth, the great men and the rich men, and the chief captains, the mighty men and every bondman, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks and the trees." Because once God's coming for you, you can't really hide. So, you know, you've heard of movie stars and politicians and everything testing positive for this virus because it's non-selective. In other words, it's going to get whoever God has it coming for. Your money can't protect you from this virus. Don't care what you have or whatever, if it chooses you, it chooses you. The effect of these cosmic signs from God is to produce terror in Earth's populace. But yet and still, man is holding back. This nation is not letting the numbers be released, and they're not, your government is still hiding from you just how bad this virus is, how many people are really sick from it. But God's trying to strike terror in the people so that they would turn, but yet they would rather believe a lie. There's been people fired from Fox Communication because they're going along with this lie. They're repeating the lie. They're trying to cover up, say, we don't want the people to panic. And here God says, I'm bringing evil in things because I want you to panic. I want you to see how bad this thing is and to get on your knees and call and turn unto God. Despite mountain moving, men and women of every origin, status, and creed, from king to slave, flee and try to get away from this, going out, isolating themselves, trying to stay back. Let me leave that alone for a while so I could get into my sermon, because I hadn't been able to get into my sermon. I was trying to introduce that natural disasters, these things must come apart before we could get to the forest. Yes. We hadn't been seeing the trees, though. There's going to be suffering before you could get on the other side. You have to suffer to enter in to the promised land. But you have to also obey God. Ask Moses, don't you have to follow God's word? That's what happened to him. He couldn't get into the promised land because his anger got to him. The leaders of these nations are animals, and you can see the nature of some people, the ferocity of them. They take revenge and they do different things, and I'll try to stop short of naming people or whatever. But this is what God tells Jerusalem in the third chapter of Zephaniah. Woe to Jerusalem and the nations. Woe, judgment is coming. To her who is rebellious and defiled. The tyrannical city. She did not listen and heed the voice of God. She accepted no correction. She did not trust in the Lord, but trusted in her own power, her own military, her own financial strength, her own proudness, her own intellect. She did not draw near to God, but the pagan gods. They worship men more than God, and things, and material things, and stuff. Her officials within her are roaring lions. He calls them roaring lions. And you remember he says Satan goes about as a roaring lion. I tell you, men were beasts. Her judges are as angry wolves at evening. They leave nothing for the morning. Her prophets are reckless and treacherous men. Her priests have profaned the sanctuary and they have done violence to the law by pretending their word is God's word. The Lord is righteous, and they'll go about telling you to obey those that have authority over you. They'll tell you where God says obey this in government or whatever. He will do no injustice, and every morning he brings his justice to light. He does not fail. So Vittman has to receive some type of justice from God. I think he was an honorable Marine or serviceman that they belittled in this nation, slew him an open trial where they slandered him and deterred him for speaking up and telling the truth. But we as lambs or wolves, we have to be wise. We have to know what battles to fight and when to fight them. But some of us will perish. But as Job says, though he slay me, yet will I keep my integrity. Don't get on television and lie for the president or for the mayor or the governor or for your children or for anyone. You know, I have something here where they're trying to cause a divide in the people. And God is not allowing these divides to occur. And I have this paper where these people are wanting their children's. It's about their children go to predominantly white schools, but they're telling them, don't marry the white people, don't intermarry with the white people. We as a church can't be a part of those things. People are people, and you don't choose who you fall in love with. We can't be like that. That happened the other day. Someone said that, and I had to deter from my preaching in the midst of a thing, and people are all upset with me because they say, no, we can't do that now. Because if I'm officiating here and I allow you to jump up and say things like that, I'm just as racial prejudiced as you are. If we allow those things. Because wasn't it, are we studying our Bible though? Wasn't it God that turned Miriam into a leper and said it would have been worse if her father had spit in her face because of the Ethiopian woman that Moses had married? Her and Aaron was talking about who Moses had married. They didn't like the race of the woman that Moses had married, and God turned her into a leper for those things. We need to keep looking at that Bible, because all of us, if we're children of God, there is no Jew or Gentile. My parents had to fight their fight in the time they were in. In the time I'm in, my God has came. He came to this earth as a man. And he told me to love my enemy. Love those that despitefully treat you. You love all men. I was saying that no matter how bad the church get, how large the church get, you will have people come in, men marrying men and women marrying women or whatever. But we have to do it just like we do with the coronavirus, whatever. God will slay who he wants to slay. God's in charge of judgment. We have to love all men. We can't hate people because of their lifestyle. God doesn't give us to hate anyone. He says love all people. A lot of us have relatives that may be living that same lifestyle. So do you hate them? Or do you just hate others that's of that way? So you hypocritical. You choose who you love and not love. Or did God say for us to love all men and let him do the judging? Yes. You see, some things have to be among you. The lion has to lay down with the wolf. The bear with the lion. Deacon Hubbard was on top of that Wednesday night. He said, Pastor, what I wanted to bring out was, you remember you was teaching us about the prophet that wasn't attentive? And I like it when the members saying things like that, because I know you're thinking. He said, you remember he disobeyed God, and God allowed this lion to come down and kill the prophet. This lion came down and killed the man. But it must have been from God, because the lion and the donkey was sitting next to one another. He wasn't killing the donkey or whatever. He was a bigger meal, wasn't he? But he had killed the prophet who had disobeyed God. The answer is in God's word. The answer is in God's word. He didn't do what God told him to do. Paul said he fought. Look at the book of Acts in the 19th chapter, the 29th chapter. When I get there, I didn't pull this out of order. But Paul says, 1 Corinthians 15 chapter and the 32nd verse. Paul says that he fought against beast in Ephesus. I don't know how I got this far out of line. And we encounter this. 1 Corinthians, let me go back here, and since I've been called this. Paul says he's fought against beasts in Ephesus. And like I said, it doesn't. That's where the reading scripture come from. But we don't read where he was thrown into the Olympic arena, because in the Olympic arena they did have the Christians fighting against animals and things. They turned loose the animals on them. But this is not, it seems as though, what Paul was talking about. The 15th chapter in the 32nd verse, where Paul says, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus. What beast Paul are talking about in Ephesus? Well, if we go in the 20th chapter and the 29th chapter, all in the back of Acts, we see where the people of Ephesus was mad because Paul had damaged their money. They said he was preaching against the great god Diana and Artemis. They were silver makers and everything, so this disrupted the income. The people bought it, brought out thousands of dollars of magical books and things, and burned them. Paul was preaching the gospel, and it was affecting their financial income, and the people wanted to destroy Paul. How did we get the leader that we have today, the presidential leader? The Christians, the evangelical people said, we want somebody that's going to reverse Roe versus Wade. We want somebody that's this. So any wolf that's in sheep's clothing, any being that wants a way into the flock, they say, okay, I'll do what you want to do, and you make a deal with me. But God says, never make a deal with the devil. Jeff Sessions says he was the first senator to endorse the president, which he was. But now the president is endorsing someone else for that same Senate seat. He's ferociously tearing Jeff Sessions apart. A person that went with him was the first to go with him. But if you look at the ferocity in which he tears into Jeff Sessions and demeans Jeff Sessions, and not that Jeff Sessions is not getting exactly what he has coming to him, he probably won't win that seat. But that's what happened when you make a deal with the devil. So God, you need to obey God and listen at God, because these governmental forces within communities or structures are the problem. It says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. This is Paul when he was getting ready to leave the church at Ephesus. He called the elders of Ephesus to himself. Ephesus is modern day Turkey. That's the one that's annihilating Syria now. That's where Ephesus was. That's the country now that Christianity because it couldn't even raise its head. And that was the church at Ephesus. That what is what it has devolved into, where Erdogan or whatever the leader's name over there is. And if you notice throughout the nation, they've just not given Putin a reign to where he'll be there another 16 years. And that's what our president, he's friends with all sorts of strong men and dictators. And probably the upcoming election may be suspended because, you know, East Baton Rouge, all those elections, this election that y'all voted on and we early voted on, it's been thrown out. It won't be an election because of the national emergencies, no meeting. So it may not even be a presidential election this year because of these things. And so he's been striving for it to try to become a president for life or whatever. But what are you going to rule over? Pharaoh was a leader. He was over Egypt. But what did he rule over? Egypt was destroyed. His people had said, Egypt is destroyed. You have no more people. Because he was against God. So Paul states in Acts 28, chapter 28, verse 8, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. You remember he told Peter, feed my sheep, feed the flock. He said, now Peter, they're going to kill you. They're going to take you somewhere and take you in a way that you don't want to go, but you preach the word. So men will try to destroy you when you stand up for God. They will destroy you. He says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. He calls them grievous wolves. The Amplified Bible says, I know that after I'm gone, false teachers like ferocious wolves come in among you, not sparing the flock. The Living Bible says, I know full well that after I leave you, false teachers like vicious wolves will appear among you. Also of your own selves, from among your own men. These men that were ordained of old will rise up in the church. Jude speaks of him, he says, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn you, every one of you, day and night, with tears. With tears. It says civilians also are responsible for the onslaught because they gave power to these people, these beasts. You voted these people in. Like I said, evangelicals said that if he do what we want to do, or whatever, we vote for him. And that's what then happened. But he's the one that says the virus may kill 10 or 15 people and it may be gone in a few days or whatever. But now, as Bernie Sanders say, that universal health care don't look so bad now, do it? So, now that y'all went with him and you see he's been lying to you all along, those of you who live to see this, and he's not going to sell the women short on this, he says, Amos, the book of Amos, the fourth chapter. Read that whole fourth chapter. I don't know if I'm going to have time to read that whole fourth chapter because he says, yet you have not returned unto me. You've not been scared enough. Hear this word, you well-fed, pampered cows. Should you be calling a woman a cow? That's what Amos calls them. Women, do y'all ever call one another cows? I think I've heard my mother use that term because of that cow. Don't say you don't call them that. You call them a heifer and everything else. Don't tell me you ain't never called that. You ain't never heard somebody call somebody a heifer. Huh? You of Bashan who are on the mountains of Samaria, who oppress the poor, who crush the needy, who say to their husbands, bring the wine now and let us drink. The Lord thy God has sworn an oath by his holiness that behold, the days are coming upon you. You rich women. You the ones that, for your sake, your husband are robbing the poor, that they are oppressing the people. The Lord swore, behold, the days are coming when you shall take, when he will take you away with meat hooks, and the last of you with fish hooks, and you shall go out through the breaches of the city in the wall. Every woman straight before her, unable to turn aside, you shall be cast into harmony. So if you continue to read, and just like I gave you last week about the women in Isaiah that was walking with mincing feet and ankle bracelets and all of their jewelry and finery or whatever, you'll see that these men wasn't men and running their household, and through covetousness and materialism, they was doing everything to rob and not standing the place of God. It's your leaders. All of those that in the churches that you are paying for all of these preachers and money cometh and all this wealth and prosperity, one day you're going to have to answer to God for those nickels and dimes and that money you're taking from those people. They're giving you their last dimes and you living luxuriously, buying jets and yachts and all types of tailor-made suits and everything. You're not living what you're preaching. He says you're eating the hooves. You're not sparing the flock. Paul told his people that it's going to be people that come in and not spare the flock. They're not going to spare the flock. Now Jesus came in and God gave him this power. He won this power and he given us power to thread up on serpents. He given us power and authority. All we have to do is follow after him to walk in his ways. God had given him that power as a mediator here on earth. And we have that power, and it's through the word of God. It's through a spirit-led life. That's why it causes your enemies to be at peace with you. If you're living through purity, God at this time is raising up the sons of God. And that's what people are looking for. That's what people are looking for. And that's why a lot of times the outreach missions that go out may be doing more throughout the world than it does in the community. As many people might not be in your church that are listening at these sermons and everything, because it empowers people that's not even within the church, because a lot of people that's within the church are not doing right. They're just hypocrites getting credit. But sooner or later, they're going to have to deal with God. A lot of the churches, the wolves are making the building payments. That's why the false preachers are preaching. Because they've cut a deal. Satan says, if you would bow down and worship me, I'll give you all this. So they've gotten wonderful supporters. They got so wonderful of sanctuaries. They have mega churches. They have tons of people following. So don't preach anything. Don't preach the gospel. Don't mention sin. Don't teach suffering. Don't teach the things to the people. And he'll keep you wealthy. He'll keep you with his power. But God says, like he charged Timothy, says, you endure hardness. You preach the word in season and out of season. So no matter what we're going through, you stand up in your home, stand up wherever you are, you preach the word of God. That's your sword. He's going to give you a reward. So you may, if you live, you live. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. You keep your integrity about yourself. You'll be able to fight with wolves and lions. It's a lot of these people that come up on you, and it'll come from your own children. Your children will curse you up and down. He says, I'm going to cause a division. Your own sons will attack you. Your own daughters will attack you. The division is going to be in your home. Your own people will rise up against you. But you just preach the word. And that's why when it fall where it fall, it has to fall those places. And he says, be harmless as doves, but be wise as a serpent. Now that's an animal. You don't call a lot of people a serpent. You'll see where scorpions, and I was telling you about that cockatrice that Sister Jackson had got you the picture of, and scorpions and things, and they said the poison of asp in some people's tongues. Some people, and you didn't, I don't know if you've heard of this analogy, and I know you have. Some people are snakes in the grass. They'll say all types of things, but they'll tell you, you better watch him. Now, he's a snake in the grass. That means he is subtle and he's hard to see. He comes at you in a manipulative way with words that you want to hear. You want to hear of your relatives and things doing you good. But some of them will take your money and scounge you away. They'll leave you hanging. You didn't trust it on them, and they're gone with the money. the preaching and gone, took the money and gone. Some husbands and things, they gone with the money. The wife and thing, the children at home or whatever, he didn't pay any of the bills. They come in, cut the lights off and everything, and the children sitting there hungry. But he didn't took the money and went off with some woman or some anything. And you trusted him. Beware. That's why God says, woe be unto you who trust in the arm of man. You need to pray. You have confidence in God, and he's going to show you who to trust. He's going to guide you and lead your way, because he says perilous times are come. Perilous times are come. So we need to examine ourselves, but we also need to walk circumspectively. Just because you think you know somebody, just because you think these things, you'd better pray and ask God to lead you and guide you in the ways of the truth. Because sometimes when that light shines on who's wrong and what's wrong, you don't want to be the one left scratching your head and everything, saying, I should have listened, I should have did this, and I should have did that. That's a hard truth. Jesus had this power delegated to him by God, and we see where he had put all enemies under him, but not all enemies yet, because death had been left out there. But he's slowly giving us this power because we're joint heirs with him. But believe me, no matter where you live, someone's watching you and seeing your life. You're so built up on this power and this authority and enjoying what it means to be a Christian, and people saying this, and people will come to you with flatteries. And they will overtake you because they see that you're given to vanity, that you get, when they praise you and do all these, you'll do all this for them and let your guards down. So, brothers and sisters, they say they will betray one another. But Malachi, the Bible comes, the preachers come to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the children back to the parents. But it's out of kelter, and sometimes godly sorrow is the only way this comes about. It has to be some sort of tragic event or some sort of extenuating circumstance. That's why God says he bring calamity. If evil has been done in the city, he had done it. So God is working now, but there are some people and things, and I'm not going to get to it, but judgment begins at the house of God. And the book of Jude says, I say this because some godless teachers have wormed their way in among you, saying that after we become Christians, we can do just as we like without fear of God's punishment. The faith of such people was written long ago, for they have turned against our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. My answer to them is, remember this fact, which you already know, that the Lord saved the whole nation of people out of the land of Egypt, and then kill every one of them who did not obey and trust him. Of all of the people he brought out of Egypt across that Red Sea, he killed them all except Joshua and Caleb. Because they didn't trust him. They were in the church. They was in the wilderness. Even Moses didn't enter the promised land. As an example to us, we have to watch our anger. We have to watch our temper. He lost his temper, and God says, you can't enter in because of that, Moses. Every sin and transgression shall receive its just recompense of reward. But you know what the Spirit's doing? It's trying to tame the tongue. It says no man can tame the tongue. It takes the Holy Ghost to tame the tongue. That can set your whole life on fire. That's why you hear a lot of preachers and everything. When you're preaching on a subject of some kind, you have to move on because the people are not agreeing or going along with what you're saying. You know, I'm preaching at the funeral and everything. I started to say some things. And I've never done that before. I had to shut the funeral down. I said, well, look, I see they upset. People that got mad, they're not listening with this. I'm going to have to close it off. But should I have kept on and made a man say God did this or God said this? Or did Paul, when they told Paul and when wasn't listening, Paul took the people that was listening and went somewhere else and taught them. But it says Paul stopped, and the Bible tells you After you tell them this, if they won't listen after you, you shake the dust off your feet and let it be unto them. But you stand in the middle of them. That's why he says Alexander the coppersmith had done me much harm. Didn't he say that? He says it was different people that did him thing. The army had to come and rescue Paul from among the people in Ephesus. They were trying to riot and get Paul out of there because they didn't want to hear it. Their money was on the line. I tell you what, you go to some of these places as the food shortage coming up or whatever, and you try to get water or bread or something, and you'll see the animalism come out. During times, a hard time, you'll see what a man made of. He said the most delicate of women will eat their own children. So, we need God because God's judgment is slowly coming up on the earth. And if we don't believe these judgments and things, like I said, you read this, he says, man, in the book of Jude and the book of Peter, it says, man, a natural brute beast made to be taken and destroyed. Because there's two seeds in earth. There's the sons of God and the sons of devil. And they were made to be taken and destroyed. It doesn't say he's going to save all. There are some people that God said. What did he say about Pharaoh? Didn't he say, I've created you for this reason to destroy you? So you're trying to make an accomplishment that you're going to save something that Pharaoh's, that God said he was going to destroy. There are those that can be built up and some that has to be torn down. You have to walk in the Word of God and make those decisions. Now, as I said, we're not fighting with flesh and blood. So God's going to have to lead you and guide you in this fight. And there's different words and things to the Word of God. And that's why we have to study. It's not just, I can't just preach it to you. I have to be able to sit you down and just teach it to you. But then you have to pray and talk to God. He has to water it with prayer. You have to water that word with prayer for it to grow. And at the revelations of Jesus Christ, he's going to personally teach you and guide you in all truth. Amen. He taught Paul. He taught Paul. God's going to lead you day by day. Oh, you remember, and I'm going to tell you this and I'm going to close. Me and Deacon Hubbard had came up here last week, the other Sunday, and we had cleaned up all of this trash from inside the building, all of these leaves and things. They still hadn't picked them up yet. I set them out. And after doing that, that Sunday I went home or whatever, that Sunday afternoon I took Sister Jackson to the store. She wanted to go way out on Seagull. I said, I don't feel like going way out there or whatever. I say, I can take you right here to Walmart, but I don't feel like going way out. Just something was telling me, so I think I kind of upset her that I said I wasn't going to take away her day or whatever. To some, but anyhow, we went to Walmart. And after we came from Walmart or whatever, I was sitting down in there doing something or whatever, reading something or whatever. I said, honey, my chest hurt. I'm getting short of breath. And all the time, that's been happening for a few years that I've been being short of breath. But I said, something's wrong. And then I sat down and ate or whatever. And then I told my son, I said, call 911. I said, I'm dizzy. I took my plate in the kitchen. I said, call 911. I'm not feeling good. Normally, I would go in and lay down and rest it off. Rest it off. But if I'd have laid down that night following my own mind and wouldn't have followed this because the doctor had to put a pacemaker in that night, now, as expensive as surgery that is, he had to do a temporary service that night to put a temporary pacemaker in there. Because I wasn't going to last till the next morning. He said, we'll schedule you for surgery tomorrow morning. I'd get a surgeon clear to put a pacemaker in. But you're going to have to do something. And I said, well, what's the downside? My wife and my daughter, they said, what do you mean what a downside is? Boy, sit down. I had to get it that night. So wasn't no debate about it that had to be done. But just think, if I hadn't said, if I hadn't did, sometime you have to follow the prompting of the Spirit, not your own mind. God, and so that's why I tell people. People say, "Oh, he's telling somebody about that pacemaker. He's telling somebody about that." Because all those are, it's like what Jacob's wound, his knee. I bet you told everybody about that thigh. Because don't you tell everybody about when God brings you through something miraculous? Don't hide it. People will want you to hide that testimony. But if God does something in your life and you know it's only God, you give God the glory and don't stop telling people what God's doing in your life. I say, y'all almost lost me Sunday, God saw fit. A lot of people, I remember my surgeon told me that after knee surgery, I had blood clots and things that almost passed. And that's why I say no more surgery for me. And these surgeons get kind of close. But anyhow, there's a fight going on. And God says, fight the good fight. He wants us to continue fighting, but he wants us to be overcomers. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God, looking unto you, Lord God, the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord God, strengthen us in your word and your way.